Hello, developers out there. Thanks for joining me tonight for the first episode of the CleanTech Show on Confused Dev Radio. We are broadcasting from Denswano, Koforidua, Ghana, close to the cool breeze of the Denso River nearby. We believe tonight's episode will excite many developers out there considering where to deploy their next application and what factors to consider. I'm Rex Wadenkansa, a senior web developer, and will be your host for tonight. With us is Jeffrey Godwell. Jeffrey is a Google Chrome top contributor and an on-demand software engineer at Vodafone. Jeffrey is almost all things Google, and he'll open our eyes to what to look out for to get the best out of our applications in terms of deployment and scalability and more of that when it comes to using the Google Cloud platform. We'll be right back with more details and more discussions with Jeffrey. Before we move on to our cloud discussions, please note tonight's episode is sponsored by The African Dream and supported by Barcamp Ghana. The African Dream is all about telling the African story from an African perspective to awaken humanity. Check out theafricandream.net today to read and watch amazing African stories by great men and women of African origins. Barcamp Ghana brings people interested in Ghana together for an informal networking forum where attendees share ideas, discuss interests, network and learn. Visit barcampghana.org to learn more about the next Barcamp close to you. We'll be right back with the cloud segment with Jeffrey. Hello everyone and welcome back. As developers, when we are done with our application design and bringing it out, it gets to the point we need to get the application onto somewhere to run for the world to access. Although this sounds like a simple process, it took me days researching and weighing many options, including how much money I had and the available sizes of cloud power I could get. Flexibility was a key part of what I looked for, and I took that into consideration. Jeffrey is here to guide us through how Google's cloud platform can let the developer shine. At the end, it's up to the developer, that is you, to decide which approach will work best for your setup. So, Jeffrey, thank you for joining us today.
Hey, I'm glad to be here.
We would like to know more about you. So tell us a bit about how you got into tech and how long you've been doing that.
Yeah, so I got introduced to tech through a program on YouTube called Hack5. That program is like a hacking program where they try to use everyday tech to do some crazy stuff, and that's what piqued my interest in tech.
Oh, okay, so you've been trying to hack stuff when you were young. That explains a lot of geniusness in you, right?
I don't think I'm a genius, at least not yet.
Oh, okay. So you are also a Google Chrome top contributor. What does that involve?
Yeah, so as a top contributor, or as is now known as the product expert, as a Google Chrome product expert, I'm expected to help users who are facing problems with Chrome, both technical problems and everyday problems, like I can't refresh my page, how do I go about it, or I can't remember my password, how do I go about stuff like that.
So how long have you been doing this Google Chrome 10 contributing?
Okay, so I think I got introduced to it after my tenure as a Google Student Ambassador. So that was late 2013, early 2014 thereabouts.
So I've personally been to the Google Chrome products forums, and I never got involved because I find most of the questions kind of dumb, like they are so childish. I don't know, but
So you certainly get a fair share of so-called dumb questions, but then there are some technically challenging ones that I think it's worthwhile when you're able to put a smile on the face of.
Well, that's nice. I've been concentrating on Stack Overflow a lot, and I think I like it there more than the Google forums. Well, it's really great having a top contributor with us to share Google Cloud.
Even on Stack Overflow. Yeah, so I also helped there on Stack Overflow in that I try to concentrate on Google App Engine and Google Cloud related questions. And so 90% or so of my answers are cloud, Google Cloud related.
Quickly, you went to Singapore recently. What was it about? Was it about the Chrome stuff? Or?
Yeah, it was about the Chrome top contributor stuff.
Oh, okay. And how was it? You remember I tweeted something on your wall some time ago about how clean the place is.
It certainly was a good experience.
Well, that's great. So, at what point did you think Google Cloud is what you needed? Let's start by asking, what is the Google Cloud platform? What exactly is it?
So Google's Cloud platform is, I don't think we can explain everything today, but then from my perspective, I feel like I can just take my application I'm developing and then just put it on infrastructure similar to what Google is hosting Gmail and stuff on. And that's how I look at it. Even though there are so many aspects to Google Cloud, like App Engine, Compute Engine, Container Engine, Cloud Storage, and so much more.
Yeah, I am more of a DigitalOcean background.
Yeah.
I tried the Google platform. I think I remember playing with the Google App Engine some time ago, where you could deploy Python applications, and that was interesting. But I think it wasn't as flexible as I wanted. Is there something similar to DigitalOcean on the Google Cloud platform?
Yeah, so it's interesting you mentioned Google App Engine. And Google App Engine is, in the traditional sense, maybe a platform as a service.
Okay.
And so they just give you services in which you can, you just have to follow by their restrictions. So it's a sandbox.
Yes, more so, like I had to install an SDK, I had to, it had kind of a rigid way of deployment. For me, with my, for instance, with the DigitalOcean, they give me the VPS, and whatever I want to do with it is none of their business. So
yeah, so Google has that too.
Okay.
So
okay.
We have, not we, but Google has. I like to put myself in their shoes. So Google has a product they call Compute Engine, so
okay.
Which you can compare to maybe AWS. EC2 instance or Amazon, Microsoft Azure.
Okay.
Yeah. So something similar. So then you have all the freedom to do whatever you want to. It's your bare machine. You can create your own.
Okay.
VMs.
So the Compute Engine is more of a dedicated VPS, right?
Yeah.
Okay. But then you also can go with their App Engine, which has a certain way of deployment. So I think they have for different programming languages.
Yeah. So. App Engine is seeing a lot of changes currently.
Okay.
There are two parts to it. There's the standard one and then the flexible one.
Okay.
The standard one was what I'm sure you took part in that.
Okay.
You might have found it a bit restrictive.
Okay.
But then now there's this one coming up called the App Engine Flexible Environment.
Okay.
So you could post underneath it's really a Compute Engine instance that's running for you. So. It's either you want to manage the services yourself or you want to manage the infrastructure. And so Compute Engine allows you to manage the infrastructure, but App Engine allows you to manage the service. You don't have control over the infrastructure. So that's where...
Depending on what the developer wants.
He wants more control of.
Yeah, I think from my point of view, I would like the one I have total control. As in,
of the infrastructure.
If I wake up one morning and I don't want to use Nginx, I'm like... Go away, I throw in another front-end server and I'm done. With App Engine, I can't do that.
You can do it with App Engine Flexible.
Flexible, that's the
so
recent...
So App Engine Flexible is like a hybrid between App Engine Standard and Google Compute Engine.
Okay, so they are trying to bring those the best
of both
worlds together for... Yeah, I think that flexibility will help because when the developer has control over the deployment, because... What I'm currently using with DigitalOcean, the advantage is I'm running 3 Django applications along with, I think, 4 WordPress instances, along with, what else? I think a Node.js application. So that kind of doing what I like is a good thing. But if, let's say, if I'm using the App Engine, that's the standard one, I don't have the opportunity to run multiple languages side by side, can I?
App Engine Standard itself is also really huge.
Yes.
You could run what you said is not entirely true, in that on Open Engine standard, you could still have, they have something called services or modules, where you could have a different service or a module running a different runtime. Maybe you have a front-end server running on Node.
Okay.
The back-end service running on maybe Python. Your API service running on maybe Go or something. Okay. All on the, in the same project. So it's quite possible.
Okay. And they'll all be listening to one domain.
Yeah, so they'll all be on the
on a single domain. So let's say I have example.com. These three services will be running like in union, but then listening to the same domain name, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I don't know how flexible that will be, but I think it's an interesting thing. And
So even with that notion, on App Engine standard, the services run on usually HubSpot domain.
HubSpot.com. Yes, HubSpot. Yes.
Just like maybe on Roku, you have
Okay, so you just can be connecting them. You don't have control, but you can, I think, attach a custom domain to.
Yeah, to App Engine project.
Oh, okay.
So most of my projects, open source at least, are all
Up. Yes. That's fine. We want to take a quick break. We'll be back with more talk with Jeffrey Godwin, who is a Google Chrome top contributor and also a software developer for Vodafone On Demand. We'll be right back. We are here with Jeffrey, who is a Google Chrome top contributor. I find saying that long thing. He's here with us talking about the Google Cloud platform. We want to kindly look at, I am a developer. I am starting afresh. I've built something for myself on my laptop. It is running really great. I want to use the Google Cloud platform. What are the paths that I can take to get my application running and serving across the world?
Number of paths you can take. So if you're already running your application and it's working on your platform, then it means you're already doing stuff a certain way. So maybe you just want to pick it up and then put it on another service and then it should just run as it is. That way, maybe you might be using something like Docker or some other container orchestration software or something to help aid your flow. And if you are doing it on your bare machine, then and you want to move it onto Google Cloud, if it's App Engine, you have to make some changes. If it's Compute Engine, you can just put your stuff there and just run it and expect it to run if it's working.
If I have a Docker as well, there's somewhere I can put it on Google Cloud, right?
Yeah, so if on Docker, on Google Cloud, App Engine Flexible actually runs Docker containers.
Okay, so they are themselves Docker containers.
Yeah. Okay. So you run your code in Docker containers, or on Google Container Engine.
There's a container engine.
Yeah. That's Google's managed. You've heard of this technology, Kubernetes or Kubernetes?
Yeah,
or,
I've heard about it a lot. It's really popping up these days in my feed, and I've never bothered reading about it. I think it has something to do with container way of.
Yeah, like cluster management.
Okay. Okay. A typical example, I want to run a blogging website. So my favorite choice is, let's say, WordPress. Obviously, on a Google platform, I will get something that I can put my WordPress instance on, right?
On Google Cloud platform, App Engine standard, App Engine flexible, and then Compute Engine can all run
my WordPress.
Container engine.
Okay. So how much flexibility does each of these options give me? If I go with the standard, what do I get? Am I able to swap in my Nginx front-end server, or I'm limited with certain things? What are the options with the standard?
So with standard, you are limited to 4 runtimes. And if you are going with WordPress, it's definitely a PHP runtime.
Yeah, it's a PHP runtime.
Yeah, so then you have to do stuff the App Engine standard way, and there are definitely guidelines.
Okay, but then I can definitely run my WordPress on the App Engine standard using the PHP runtime, and everything will be awesome.
Yeah, it will be awesome. But you might have to host your database somewhere. So maybe, I think WordPress comes with a database, right?
WordPress is actually
a PHP, MySQL, normally Nginx on the front end, and you have your LEM.
Okay.
Yeah, it's Linux, your Nginx, your MySQL, and your PHP. So basically, that's the stack you are going to use. If I put my WordPress instance on the App Engine standard, how am I going to go about it? Am I going to miss out on the Nginx part or the MySQL part?
I don't think I fully understand how all of this falls into place. But what I think would happen is you might have to host your database somewhere.
Okay,
like
because
the compute engine instance.
Okay, because the standard doesn't have
such a thing. You can't install your own stack.
Okay, and the other option is the flexible one. Will I be able to get my database along with it, with the flexible? No?
I'm sure if you can run your database in a Docker container, why not? I think
okay, okay. Then the other one is the...
As a compute engine, you can
then use. I can just do whatever I want.
So they even have a part of compute engine where it's called the Cloud Launcher.
Okay.
So there are so many one-place installations where you can just install a WordPress.
I think that's how I started with my DigitalOcean. Like, it was a Django one-click install. I pressed it before I realized...
Bitnami stack or something. Bitnami usually have those one-click.
Yeah, they also have one-click. I think it's a fast way for developers to, like, if you really want to spin something up. You know, they are droplets, and so you start something and you just can drop it and continue. Sometimes you want to spin up a server to test things. So I think droplets make it much easier when you are able to do that.
So like the droplet is like a normal virtual machine?
Yeah, that's how DigitalOcean chooses to call it. It's more like it's your dedicated VPS. So I think behind the scenes, they are all Docker containers.
Okay.
So when you create your droplet, it sets up a new Docker container for you, which you can eventually enlarge and reduce depending on what you want. So I think the compute engine will really match my taste because I really want to have control over every single thing that is running on my system. And now, what are the prices? Like, how flexible are the prices? Because obviously, everyone knows DigitalOcean starts with something like $5 for a 512 RAM, a one-core processor, and I think a 20 gig SSD. So for $5 a month, I think that's really lucrative. Can I get something similar on Google Cloud, depending on whichever area I take?
So I think on computing, I actually don't know how much will go into it, but there's this very good resource on Google Cloud, your pricing calculator.
Okay.
It gives you a fair idea of how to calculate how much you go into an instance. So I think, F1 Micro, that's one of the instance types.
You use a lot of App Engine.
Yeah.
Do you pay?
Yeah, so actually, the cool thing is a lot of my services that I'm running on App Engine are still like hobbies projects, so they are free. Because I have daily quota limits that I never actually hit. And so,
I use Firebase, which is also a Google product tied into the platform
stuff.
Yeah, and I think for a Firebase application, you have 100 concurrent connections. That's the maximum you can do. That isn't expensive.
Yeah.
So I'm currently looking at a price calculator. I think it's a Google products price calculator, and we're going to drop the link to the site for this calculation eventually after this broadcast, and so you can have a look at it. But then what I'm looking here right now is a $4.09 per month for the
that's one of the machine types or instance types. So like DigitalOcean, you said a machine or something.
Yeah, a droplet. Yes.
So on compute engine, it's an instance.
It's an instance. Okay.
Yeah. So there are various instances.
And
so we have the F1 Micro, we have the N1 Small Standard.
Okay.
So
this is the F1 Micro. Okay, that gives me the 4.09. I'm sure this one can scale enough, right?
Yeah, it can do.
My blog hits about 20,000 a month and 10,000 views a month, and I think should work well with this kind of.
Sure.
It's we really excited having you on the show. Do you think the cloud platform is good enough for every developer?
Yeah, I think everyone should be using the cloud. I think so. Because I've seen bare metal and I've seen the cloud, and I'll choose the cloud any day.
Oh, okay. So I think we want to have more discussions about Google Cloud Platform eventually some time in the future on Kofi's Day. But for now, I think summarizing the whole discussion, we've seen the different parts of the Google Cloud Platform that are really tailored for developers.
Yeah.
I think Pokemon Go actually depended on Engine for their scalability. And
yeah, one of them. I love competing, app engine.
Oh, one of them, yeah. And
even container.
Yeah, it really scaled. So I think if one is looking for an application and an instance that will scale while you are on your bed snoring, I think going with the App Engine is a way, because everything is managed. You just have to be throwing the dollars at it, right?
Yeah, you could put it that way.
Yeah, because on a digital ocean, you can automate some of these things, but it doesn't come for free. You, as a developer, has to rig a lot of things and try to tweak things around to ensure your droplet scales up and down accordingly. But I think I really like the idea of App Engine, and I might take a look at it.
Yeah,
I started with it with Python, but it never really intrigued me that much. DigitalOcean came to steal me, so I never went back. But it's been really great talking to Jeffrey today. I really think I should take a look at Google Cloud Platform, and there are a lot of them. I currently use some of them, but I have to look in other areas. So recently there's been lots of tech events happening around the country. I don't know if there are any coming for the Google Cloud Platform that any developer could take part in.
Yeah, so I think you're aware I'm part of the GDG.
Yeah, I know.
And so we're having a Google Cloud Next extended viewing party on the 11th of March at iSpace.
Okay, so
if you're free and you're in town, you can pass by.
Okay, I'll try and come around and see if I can carry some cloud around with me. That would be nice. But then I know of Dev Fest. That one is coming later this year,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, later on. Yeah.
Okay. I'll definitely make it a point to join both of these events, because I want to be in the cloud, plus I want to be enjoying the festival of developers.
Sure.
It's really great having you on the show, and we thank you for your time. We hope to meet some other time and continue our discussion on Google Cloud.
Yeah.
In the next segment of this show, I share some tools and applications that really improve the life of a developer. Stay tuned. Welcome back to the tips and tricks segment. Let's talk Git now. Because Git's design includes keeping track of every file ever committed, you can imagine how the project can grow, because Git is trying to keep a revision of every file that's ever committed. Well, that is part of the job. Git is a versioning control system, so it is doing that right. But when it's time to pull a repository down, we might come across unnecessary revisions we don't want to pull down. A typical example would be the Android source code. You want to download the Android source code, but you don't want to have revision going back as far as Android 1 or Android 2. So Git has the shallow clone option for you. By providing an argument of --depth1 to a clone command, you are basically saying you want to only copy the latest revision of everything in the repository. It can be a lifesaver for both Git servers and you, the developer downloading that repository. So let's use github.com/angular/angularfire2 as an example. We want to clone it. How do you go about it? Git clone the URL to the repository --depth1. That command will clone only the current head of the Angular Fire repository on GitHub for you, saving you tons of download time plus the space to download all the revisions. But then remember, because you have downloaded only the latest revision, you will not be able to go back in time because Git doesn't have those revisions on your local machine. So you might have to go pull them down specifically to be able to access them. Thank you so much for joining me today on the CleanTech Show, and I hope to come your way next week with another developer talk. Visit Kofi's dev blog to find the links to all the resources mentioned in this episode. If a friend missed this episode, please, it will be available online as a podcast. My name is Rexford, and I hope to catch you next week for another exciting episode.